This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
My wife loves that you play this song every day, Nick. I just want to let you know.
It's one of her favorites. I do like this jam.
Yep, one of her favorites.
Who is it?
What?
Sublime, right?
Is it Sublime?
I just feel like every time you guys don't know a song, I just want to be like, what? You don't know this song? Because y'all do this to me like every day.
But every day. But we normally know more than you.
No, y'all don't. About the songs in like the 70s, maybe.
No.
60s.
Well, I have no clue there.
Why did you do that to your... What was that?
My nose itched.
You're picking your
nose. Did your nose ever itch, Nick?
Never.
Or are you just superhuman?
Keep my fingers away from my nose.
When your nose itches, you scratch it.
But would you allow others to touch your lettuce, Nick?
I would. If it was in a Ziploc bag, it wouldn't bother me. I don't know why it was such an issue for Barry, honestly.
Because I don't know what you did when it was out of my sight. I don't know what you did when it was out of my sight.
What would I do? Pick out your lettuce?
I don't know what you would do. As he said when he was telling the stories about a basketball player rubbing his junk on a plate of cheese.
No, that fruit.
But all I know is that what I would imagine in my head would never allow me to eat it.
You would think I would do something like that to your lettuce.
I would. I absolutely do. I do.
I would not rub my balls on lettuce.
Well, at least we're not beating around the bush anymore. We're getting right down to it.
I think you would. I totally think you would. I feel like that's how you would, and then you would laugh about it.
I would not do that.
Yeah. Well,
I really wouldn't. All right. Not to food, because you're gonna ingest that. That is disgusting.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that to you.
We don't need to rehash this. I'm just telling you.
Why is Rachel Nichols doing her show on a pier? It looks like she's out on like a dock.
And it's Boston Harbor?
I don't know.
Celebrating?
Maybe.
Hey, I had a thought. So did you watch the game?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to do the call first.
Yeah, let's get the call first and let's get to it. All right, Jared, come on in here real quick. You've been waiting. We appreciate it.
Hey, how's it going? Just want to let y'all know I love the show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, man.
I have a brother that is a coach at the Woodlands High School, and Matt Bullard, his son, AJ Bullard, plays basketball there.
Yep.
And supposedly he's telling people that Harden was playing with a concussion in game 6.
Ooh.
Just kind of wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
Juicy deets.
I mentioned that.
There's a lot of speculation.
Yeah, you did mention that.
I mentioned that already. Yeah. That's one of the conspiracy theories that's out there, was that he played with a concussion. Now, I guess...
From what?
If something happened, supposedly,
he got hit
at the end
VIP.
Of game 5. At
really?
The end of game 5, they're saying something happened that rattled his cage.
Was it he took a shot from somebody, right?
I don't recall it.
Yeah, I recall a foul under the basket, but I don't know if it was game 6 or game 5.
Now, the other question then behooves me to ask, you recall it and you saw a replay where there was actually contact to his dome piece, or was it one of those flailing, I got hit by a sniper because I didn't get a foul call?
No, I recall this being like a legit.
Well, Aldridge got him once, didn't he? But that was earlier in the series where Aldridge up high.
Yeah, out on the top of the
key.
No, this was down low under the basket. Okay. That's why I specified, because, yeah, I remember that one. That wasn't it. But, again, who knows? It's just speculation, though, and I think it can be kind of reckless on a medium like this to just give credence to something that we don't have any kind of proof on.
I welcome the sick argument more than the concussion argument.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like, yeah, I think because that's the thing. Like, people on Twitter were like, "Well, I heard this, I heard that, bro." It's like Twitter. Twitter's like high school. You don't know what the truth
is. Yeah, and there's no credibility to it at all.
I don't want
to
sit on the airwaves and be like, "Oh, well, this might happen and this might." You don't know. I mean, all we know is he choked. Like, he didn't play well. So, If there was a blow to the head in game 5 at the end, which we'd have to go back and look or whatever, then sure, that theory might be some truth to it.
And even a blow to the head won't tell us if he really had a
So the conspiracies are cold or flu, concussion through the game.
The cold flu part, because you can kind of see him like
and
I
going
saw
out
and or going right.
Somebody
and
else on Twitter
out.
Was like, "Well, he didn't sweat, and I've been there, dehydrated." You know, all right.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you both this, right? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with this guy being your centerpiece, and the face of the franchise for the rest of his career? And do you think he's capable of winning a title? I'll throw it out to the listeners, too. If you guys want to chime in at some point, 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. You can text us, you can call us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. But I've been meaning to ask you guys that because I've asked Coach McHale that, and it rattled around in my head for a while, like thinking about the different possible answers.
Mm-hmm.
But just as you guys as lifelong Houstonians, are you cool with him being here the rest of his career, and do you think he's the guy that is capable of leading you to a title?
Yeah, I'm cool with him being here the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, even arguing with Jerome that Friday, because he was like, you know, I was arguing that Kawhi Leonard was overall a better player than James Harden. If I were making my list, Kawhi Leonard would be ahead of him. But that doesn't, I mean, everyone's going to take away from what James Harden has done. In other words, been in the running for an MVP two of the last 3 years.
Right.
I get it. It's the regular season. I get it. But this town loved them some Bagwell and Biggio,
yeah,
who struggled mightily in the postseason. But it didn't matter. So why does it matter with Harden? Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, you get pissed off. But why do you want to ship him somewhere else? Did anyone ever want to ship Bagwell and Biggio anywhere else? No. They were so glad when Biggio took the hometown discount instead of going to the Rockies, which he almost did. He took less money to stay here, and people celebrated. And now there's statues for these guys. So do I want to see James Harden here? I would love it. I think he's one of the, you know, 5, 6, 7 best players in the NBA. And I think if you're going to win a championship, you need one of those guys on your team. What you also need is you need other pieces around him. So that's the question is, does he have the pieces around him to be able to win a championship? Can he? Yeah, I think he's definitely capable. I mean, does he have other issues? Yeah, you're not going to get the calls that you get in the regular season, James. You need to realize that. Stop throwing up threes because you think you got a foul call coming and it doesn't happen. Those are the kind of things, though, that I think come with maturity, too.
Yeah, he definitely has some maturing to do. I was going to say that's exactly what it
but,
is.
But, yes, overall, I would love for James Harden to retire as a Rocket.
And Yana, I think he can win Yana, let the record show, I didn't say anything about shipping him off or trading him. I just asked you guys the legitimate question as Houstonians. Do you want him here the rest of his career? And do you – because all these other people – turn on him as quick. You're right. As quick as possible, and they forget the regular season. But are you good with, you know, the fact that it's a maturation process, and you don't know when he might the light might go on, and he might take it to that next level. But are you good with him being here, and do you think he's capable of leading you to a title, Nick?
I think the Rockets are about one star away. I don't know if he's the guy. I'm okay whether that's a star that you bring on and he's the number two guy, or Harden is the number one guy and you bring that other star. I think the Rockets are one star away from winning a championship.
But you got to be able to afford another star. Right now, some bodies and get about 15. But stars these days, with the way the cap's gone up, and you're talking about Kyle Lowry commanding 30-plus.
What about, okay, so you look at the Cleveland situation. Is Kyrie Irving a star?
Definitely.
Okay, yeah. There's two stars on that squad.
There's actually three, depending on how you look at Kevin Love.
Look at the Golden State Warriors.
But it's going to take some. Again, you just spent a ton of money on two guys from the Pelicans, right?
That's the problem.
You spent $35 million on Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. Not that they didn't help you, but did they make you significantly better to the point of contender? And are they worth not going? Are they worth the alternative of taking that money to get a legitimate two-star or whatever?
I don't know how easy this is. Ryan Anderson is scheduled to make somewhere close to $20 million. I think it's like $19 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get rid of him, I would. That's just me. I've said it on the record. I don't care. He hasn't proven. The whole point of his existence is to make three-pointers, and he's not making the three-pointers.
He was on the road.
Not consistently enough.
He definitely
on the road, yes.
Yeah, he made him on the road. But again, I said when they signed him, you just signed a glorified Matt Bullard to $20 million a year. And at the end of the year, it looks like of the two, you'd have thought Gordon deserved the 20 and Anderson deserved 15 or less. But it doesn't work out that way. And now you're on the hook for both of them for 4 years.
For the record, for the season, he shot 40.3% from three. That's solid.
Equate to his career averages?
Averages 38 for his career.
So there you go. So he was above his career average.
I don't care about the percentage. He did not perform to his par.
The numbers, though.
I can't disagree with Nick. When the lights are the brightest, you got to perform.
He does not perform. He doesn't.
At home, on the road, even in the playoffs, yeah. His best games were on the road.
Well, if I'm paying you $20 million, you need to perform on the road.
I do agree with you, and it was only 18. He won't make 20 until the third year of his contract.
Yeah, $2 million.
$2 million you could add to something else and go. I mean, the problem is they definitely overpaid for Ryan Anderson. Mm-hmm. That's the issue at this point. They've overpaid for him. I don't know that they overpaid for Eric Gordon, but they overpaid for a sixth man. You know what I mean? If Eric Gordon was going to be a starter and played as well as he did coming off the bench, then sure, you got your money's worth, but you're paying about $12 million for a sixth man.
And now it's also
that okay?
Right. And it's also worth throwing in there that the domino effect said Ryan Anderson couldn't be the highest paid player on your team, so then they had to go and renegotiate and extend James to make sure that his money was equivalent to that of being an elite player, and he was the highest paid player on his own team and not Ryan Anderson. So they did that before the season started too. That's fine and dandy because it didn't affect this year, but going forward, James is in that 26.5 and up range now as he continues
to go. Yeah, he's 28 next year.
Yeah.
But the thing is they've got some space. Just with salary cap next year is $101 million. And they're at 91 right now. They're at 91. So do they re-sign Nene, or do they use that money to go out and do something else? You're not going to get rid of Ryan Anderson, by the way, Nick. No one's going to want this dude. Right?
I didn't say you're stuck with
him until 2020.
Perhaps, but it doesn't mean he's performing to his salary. He's just not.
I do agree with that. But you said see if someone would take him. Would you take him? I don't think anybody's going to.
At a price, if you're a guy that's willing to give him up, like at some point the Rockets are going to have to cut their losses. Teams do this all the time.
Right, yeah,
That's at the end of the contract. There's 4 years left, of the, 3 years now left on this contract. You're not dumping that salary until the last year.
But here's the thing, too, Nick. You got to have in order to make a trade, you got to come within 15% or less of his salary, which means you got to come within 15% of $20 million a year. No team's going to give you assets like that in return for Ryan Anderson.
You might have to keep Ryan Anderson for another year, but I am still of the belief that you need, or 2 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I am still of the belief you're still a star away. You're not going to win a championship with the roster that you have right now.
I don't disagree with you on that. He needs help.
Something has to be done. Now, because the only reason why I was okay with him potentially being the leader is that he showed progression this year. Now, if you get like another guy that's a star and he's willing to run the offense and be that leader, and Harden's willing to be the number two guy, fine, by all means. I don't know if that's going to work. If you can find another star where he's the number one guy and the other star is willing to be the number two guy, by all means. But there's teams like Golden State that are making Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant work. Cleveland is making LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love work. Why can't the Rockets do that here?
Because they've committed too many resources towards guys that aren't at that level.
Because that money that would be that second star is tied up between Anderson and Gordon. $31 million next year on the books. Yep. Between those two guys, $31 million.
I just don't think it's
enough.
Now
I could see a situation where you could trade Ariza and something else, either draft picks or whatever, because next year is his last year on his contract, and it's about $7.5 million. So that's a little bit of a salary dump, but that's it. That's the best dump of a contract that they would have to be able to trade for an asset that might still be worth something.
Yeah,
so they're not in a great position to go out and build a big three a la Cleveland, the Heat, Boston, or whatever.
I think that's why I said the other day, you're probably better off trying to do what Barry just said, but trying to get enough of a kitty together so that you could add some veterans that might be an upgrade at those positions. A J.J. Redick, a Taj Gibson, guys that are proven to be playing with good teams, that know how to win, that have experience, that are also not going to back down to James if it gets out of hand and say, no, that we can't have that, but yet aren't going to be at the level of a superstar player. There's a different means to an end. You'd have to do it with a lot of role players instead of better role players than doing it with superstars based on what's tied up financially.
And you may have to if you're going to do something like a trade with Ariza, you're probably going to have to trade somebody like Sam Decker or another piece that somebody might, even Capella might have to be on the blocks as well. He's a serviceable center in this league that I think some people...
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people very high on him. The Rockets have been very, very, very cautious about wanting to trade him.
So are you willing to do that? I mean, that's gonna be the question.
They don't
have a ton of moves, though. They really don't.
They don't.
And I think this is the same situation a lot of other NBA teams are dealing with. They don't have a ton of moves, budget constraints, salary cap issues, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, if you're going to take the if you're going to take your team to the next step, you have to make the moves that these other teams are doing.
I know we're going to go Big Ben said, just trade him to the Browns.
That's great.
Good tweet.
All right, so you let us know. And if you want to chime in here, is James Harden the guy you want leading your team for the rest of his career? And is he capable of taking you to a title? Let us know that. We are here until 4 o'clock. You can reach us at 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Here till 4, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, so Nick's been outed. That last take was brought to you by Barry Warner.
If you could steal a take from a Hall of Famer, you wouldn't do it? You wouldn't do it, Barry?
No.
I would totally steal a take from a Hall of Famer.
Nick, let me tell you something, Nick.
When we were talking earlier about the media just piling on whatever hot take there is and everyone regurgitating it, I get made, I take a lot of criticism for some of the things I'll say. I mean, you know, but that's it. I mean, you're going to, at least it's my opinion. You know what I mean?
And I think that the reality is like, so you made your opinion about the James Harden thing.
Yeah.
There might be someone else that has it. It doesn't necessarily mean you jacked it.
True.
Or copied.
True.
But it there's some takes that you have to have that are obvious, right? Like, just like you guys mentioned, it's not going to be it's much easier said than done for the Rockets to make the changes and get a second star. Kind of like we were talking about in the last segment.
But Nick, let me include this into not contradict, but to take devil's advocate to your point. Not only are you trying to find the money that Barry was trying to do just to say get you somebody that could be an upgrade at a position or two, but you also, to bring Nene back, you're not bringing him back for 1.67 again. He's not going to settle for the veteran's minimum for another year. He took it in the shorts this year on a one-year deal to prove his worth so that he could up his value for the following season. Yes, he wants to come back, but he ain't coming back for that money.
No.
So in order to spend the extra money to bring him in, that's money you won't have to spend on other players.
Even after the torn abductor?
That means nothing. I mean, unless they say it's career threatening or something like that, he'll recover in plenty of time to be ready for training camp and everything else. The big thing is going to be the money.
The only weird thing I've noticed in the contracts is Pat Beverly has a declining contract. Usually.
Well, he had to buy the Bentley up front.
It goes the other way, but like, so this year Pat Bev made $6 million. When the 2018-2019 season rolls around, he's at $5 million. It's going down.
Because he had to buy the Bentley up front.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that was the thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go.
I'm not saying that's exactly why, but I just know that he...
I'm looking at this, though. And they
priorities,
show,
Barry.
Like,
priorities.
They show the different names on here, like Pablo Prigioni.
That dude can play.
$1.2 million next year.
That's
under
sick.
Contract.
That, here's the thing. They got rid it's of like him and had Maloney. To pay him to go away. Then they signed him. They re-signed him as a free agent to come back only to cut him before camp got over with.
Yeah, but they owe him $1.178 million next year.
And please don't compare him to my boy Matt, because I love Matt to death. He's
no.
a dear friend. But
great,
that contract is
friend.
The greatest contract in the world.
No, it was the worst. I guess it just depends on the side you look at. But Matt Maloney should have wore a mask when he signed that.
Hey, he didn't put him up to it. They brought it to him, but that was the gift that kept giving
him
and
Kelvin,
giving and
yeah.
giving.
Him and Kelvin Cato. They like
dude,
the,
you
the Doug Drabeck
see,
of
here's
the Rockets.
The thing. This is the biggest problem I have with you, Barry.
Those two are like Doug Drabeck and Greg Swindell. It's just, wow.
This is the biggest problem I have
uh-oh.
With you.
Okay,
you
what?
Don't find the value in a triple-double in the preseason.
13 blocks. Here, let's double that and make it millions. Here's $26 million, Kelvin Cato. Jeez.
I'll never forget conversations that I had with that man where he said, I really don't even like basketball. It's just I know that I could make the most, maximize my income by playing it.
Let me just get these preseason blocks and sign this deal.
Man.
Wow. Go Rockets.
Crazy.
At least they're not making those kind of mistakes now. I mean, Prigioni, Owen Prigioni, $1.2 million next year. isn't great, but that's not terrible.
Because that's like peanuts with the cap the way it is today. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it, really the only bad contract the Rockets have is the Ryan Anderson contract. And it's because of performance, really. If he would have lived up to the hype in this offense, he would have been worth the money. But he didn't.
He better be taking care of his agent, because his agent did something right in those negotiations to make the Rockets think they were competing against others. Everybody knew for the last 3 years he was the ultimate fit for the Rockets, and all of a sudden, based on some kind of a negotiation session, they bumped it up to 20 a year.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Mike wants to get in here. He's been holding. Mike, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Big fan.
What's up, Mike?
I saw on the news last night a story about James Harden hiring four guys, paid them $20,000 to beat up Moses Malone Jr. Just want to see what you guys think about that. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Mike. Glad you're a big fan of the show, even though you didn't listen to the
Maybe
first
we
hour.
We screen that a little bit better,
Mike. Yeah, because it said nothing on the board. By the way, thanks to Trey. Yeah. Mike, got this thing called the podcast.
Yeah, go hit it up.
Hour one.
If you're a big fan of the podcast, you can hit up hour one, and we can cover that in detail.
Hey, the Usual Suspects, podcastarena.com.
Sports guys, big fan of The Usual Suspects. What are the odds that I win male golfer, female golfer, or food today?
Really? Is that a text?
No. I'm just saying that's kind of like Mike's call. He was like, big fan, guys. Yeah. but I don't know. It's hard. Like, we're giving Mike a hard time. I get it. You're not in the car. You can't listen sometimes. I totally get it. But, yeah, at the sake of repeating ourselves every hour, we did address it. We actually spent a couple segments on it,
right? Yeah, we did. Yep.
Yeah, so go check out episode.
It's not a podcast, okay?
Segment
this is a radio
one.
Show.
It is a pod. It's podcasted. But, so yeah, go check out hour number one.
Put some respect on The Usual Suspects.
All right, Nick, break it down for him.
For what?
How does he get it?
Get what?
The audio from...
Oh, my God. Are you high
podcastarena.com. I mentioned it.
Yeah, but it was...
Podcastarena.com. Actually, I'll try to... Because someone actually asked about it, and there's people... I'll probably put it on the front page. So,
okay.
By the end of the show, ESPN 97.5.
Big Daddy CP on Twitter said, Barry, I'd be worried if Nick doesn't smoke crack. He says some dumb bleep.
Who said that?
Big Daddy CP.
On Twitter or on the text line?
On Twitter.
You shut your hole.
Oh, this is a big dude. You better be careful.
He goes by the name of Big Daddy CP.
He's a. You might want to. You might want
to. Like
just
how big?
Say,
like Scott Deer Park big? Might, or like how big?
No, you might have wanted to just say, you shut up, LOL, JK.
Really? Like
yeah,
that?
Like,
is he like built? And like,
I'm looking at his picture, and if he took my lettuce, I'd just be like, whatever. Like, it's a big boy.
Well, you did that to us too.
He's a big boy.
All right, you want to talk about the game last night?
I do. You know what? I just specifically... So, I mean, first of all, were you surprised at the outcome?
No.
No? You weren't? Weren't you?
And I was pulling for Washington. Yeah,
you had the Wizards in seven, right?
I did.
So why weren't you surprised?
Because I saw the Wizards consistently, immaturely, act like a team that didn't even belong to be there on that stage. You talk about whining about calls. You talk about taking bad shots. You talk about turnovers at the absolute worst time and just careless all around the floor. And then John Wall suddenly got hero syndrome and missed 9 shots in a row that he didn't need to take from the positions he took them. I was like, and at home, Boston's not losing that game.
Well, I mean, because the first part is like, as well as they've played in games, that's what would be surprising is that they make those mistakes. But here's the only thing I was thinking when I was watching this is how frustrating it must be to be a Boston Celtics fan and to watch Isaiah Thomas, because he goes out there and some of the things that this dude does, it's amazing. You watch this kid. How tall is he? He's what?
5'9".
Yeah, he's under 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he's out there in the lane, weaving through traffic, making, you know, off balance shots. And, but then he turns around and makes some of the dumbest boneheaded plays, or his size ends up hurting him. You know what I mean? Like, there was one turnover where it's just the defender, I forget who it was, but the defender just basically, he stops his dribble at the free throw line, essentially, The defender just puts his hands up, and he has nowhere to go with the ball, and he turns it over because he tries to throw a pass, and the defender was too long. He couldn't get around him. So you see these great plays followed by these bonehead plays, and it's a mix. It's a lot like watching James Harden. When I was watching, I was like, man, they must be frustrated with how this guy plays overall. Because he does, for every play he makes, he makes a dumb play.
I don't see that,
man. I do. I saw it last night.
I'll tell you this. There's a reason why he's the leading scorer in the NBA in the fourth quarter. He's clutch. He's big time.
He hit some big shots. I agree.
Yeah. And to me, it was more frustrating to watch the, I guess you can blame it on the youth and immaturity of the Wizards. But my goodness, guys that are supposed to be the two best players on that team. And Bradley Beal hit a lot of big shots too. But just carelessly throwing the ball away at the most inopportune times. Or Boston's making a run and all you need is a bucket to stop it. And you start jacking quick threes and taking really poor shots. I felt bad for Scottie Brooks because you can only say so much and your players have to go out and execute. And Washington just looked like they didn't belong there, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that was another question I have for you guys. I know we got to go to break. But Scottie Brooks, has your opinion of him as a coach changed?
Remember, I'll ask you in what way, but we'll hit that on the rebound. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with a lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, chime in if you want. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. If you chime in, you can call or you can text. Or if you want to chime in and hit us up on Twitter, you can reach us at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
That texter is going to be so drunk.
Super. I want him to get so bombed that he just passes out.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, gang. We're all about giving you guys free stuff. So I got something to give away right now. The Love Street Music Fest brought to you by Carbach. Two tickets right here and now for this Sunday, May the 21st from 1 to 9 p.m. You come out for a day filled with the sweet sounds of live music from local and national artists, Saint Motel, Junior, Louis Delmar, Run River North, and more. Tickets still available, but if you call right now, you get two. It's beer package tickets to Carbach's Love Street Music Fest. We'll take caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776 if you want to chime in. 713-780-ESPN. And if you chime in and you're the 10th caller, you're going to get two tickets to enjoy some beverages and Carbach Street Festival. It's the Love Street Music Fest. Call now. All right, so we're back.
How about the job Kelly Olynyk did?
My goodness.
Wow. Well, he missed four shots.
The man bun was alive.
That dude was playing. You talk about ball. Fourth quarter clutch. Yeah.
And again, for
if
all
they get that out of him.
Well, which they're not going to get every night.
No,
right?
But if they were to get that out of him.
I kept looking at Kelly Oubre going, that's the dude that you went at with a forearm. Yeah. And he's sticking it. And Markieff Morris, who decided that he was going to talk to him and call him the B word. Several times, and all of a sudden, right after that, he just goes from, like, bonfire to straight towering inferno in your grill.
Man, that's a big performance. I mean, that's like game
when
of
Isaiah
lifetime.
Passes on shots to give you another one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to show you he's still Kelly Olynyk, he had one more lined up where they said it would have absolutely blown the roof off the place, and he basically airballed it.
Yeah. And, I mean, dude, to watch the Washington defense just leave that dude open, you're like, what are you doing? There were several times where, like, Gortat was down low and the switch wasn't occurring and no one – and the dude is wide open. If he's hot, you know, you've already been through a heat check shot. Like, he's definitely on fire. Someone needs to not switch off of that guy.
Yeah.
Make a simple adjustment. How about after he hit the first couple, timeout, you go back, look. Don't leave him, okay? Just don't leave him. On the switch, don't leave him.
And it was Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
Who was, like, sinking into the paint and worried about dribble penetration. It's like, dude, he's roasting you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And the other thing is,
Gortat's just throwing his hands up every time.
I'll give him some credit. His low post moves. His low post moves on the pivot foot were pretty solid when he hit the one going into the paint, spun back to the baseline side and flipped it up off the glass. I was like, uh-oh, he's using a little up and under.
I like when you describe a white guy down low, everyone pretty much just says solid. Like, he's got some solid low post moves. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you a possession receiver. Like, he's got good hands.
Yeah.
That's how you describe a receiver.
That means he's slow and can't play on the outside.
Exactly. Yeah, that means he had a once in a lifetime game. But good, I mean, good for them. Do you give the Celtics any chance of beating the Cavs?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I think it's going to be really difficult. I didn't want to believe that LeBron could turn it on, but
I'm with you. As a team, they believe they could turn it on.
And they have.
Yeah.
And I think we're on a crash course for Warriors, Cavs again.
And I said the other day before the series started.
Much as I don't
want to
see it.
You don't?
Yeah.
I said before the series started, the NBA would love to see both these teams enter the finals undefeated.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because the Warriors, I think the Warriors are really focused on that. Not that they were focused in game one, but they ended up pulling it out. But I think their version of saying, look, we did the whole best record in the regular season and got gassed and it really cost us. This year, you want to see something impressive? We're going to run the table all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
And then ideally, they'd like to run the finals, which I don't think will happen.
No. I don't think so either. But I think
because the refs on the take won't let it.
I do think, though, if we do get a Cavs-Warriors final, that would probably be the most interesting for me. If it was Celtics-Warriors or Spurs-Cavs or anyone, God forbid we get a Spurs-Celtics. Oof. Never going to happen.
I predicted that three match.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was having a hard time even watching the Celtics-Wizards, to be honest with you. I'm just like, I'm kind of, after the Rockets got bounced, I'm like,
I knew it was on,
yeah.
But I stuck with the Astros for a long way last night and then flipped it back. I saw the end of the first half, and then I made sure to watch the second half because that's when all the action happens anyway.
Oh, my dumbass. What I did is I just went ahead and recorded the game because I went to open mic last night. So I listened to the Astros, recorded the game, and then, and I get home, I just watched it late at night while the wife was asleep. But
probably a blessing because you can speed through a lot of crap.
You can get through the free throws and the high fives and the commercials. It's the only way to watch a basketball game, I'll tell you that. Hey, can I switch? Do you mind if I switch gears?
Oh, go ahead.
Because I saw this. Oh, is it time? My bad. Let's go to break. My bad.
You think anybody else heard Nick in your ear?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Hey, we're going to step away for a quick second so that we can keep it on schedule. And then the schedule will allow us to switch gears when we get back. So don't go anywhere. This is Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Kirsten chimed in at the break. Great to see her. We're back. Usual Suspects till 4, just past the midway point. Anything interesting on text, Barry?
The guy that's been texting that in.
Yeah.
He's just like, my work here is done.
Yes, it is. Hopefully you're hammered and you'll pass out soon.
Yeah, somebody said solid break tease there, Barry. Wanting to switch gears. No, sir. Have to go to break. Yeah, I know. I don't usually watch the clock. I'm bad at that. Thank goodness for Joel and Nick.
Joel, not Nick. Nick sits there on playing whatever he's doing with his phone.
What? He's playing Candy Crush.
I'm always
something.
Working. What are you talking about?
Always working?
You know how many times today I said to Barry, what the hell's he doing in there? We like literally have said things to you, and we just bring it back because you're sitting there like trying to get high score on like Candy Crush.
You've got my undivided attention.
Yeah.
Say no to Kush. It's a synthetic weed, and it will melt your brain. And Nick is a perfect example of that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mention the copy. Kirsten wants you to mention the copy and the
terrible
copyright.
Yeah, Joel, copyright. Tell them what you were saying at the break about the writing and the copy and who wrote it.
I was saying that I completely disagreed with Barry, who thought that the copy written for these promos was awful.
That? Nick? Kirsten,
I heard that.
Did you hear that?
Thank you very much, Nick.
Really, Nick? It's just that fast. You just sell me out just like that.
Yep. I'll sell anybody out. If it benefits me, I will sell anybody.
How did that benefit you?
I don't know. I was just selling you out, honestly. It was just... It gave me pleasure to sell you out.
All right. Can I do my story now?
Yeah, shout out to Jared Camp, by the way, who loves the show.
Cool. Thanks for listening, Jared.
Yeah, just tweet us now from now on, Jared, and also text so we can get
what
rid of
do?
The
how
other
did he, How did he get you the message?
No, I'm saying, aside from just tweeting, I want him to text, too, to get rid of the doorbell that wants to chime in.
Did you see this story about why? Do you guys, were you watching a couple
easy
nights ago
now.
When Altuve got taken out of the game in the ninth inning?
No.
Yeah, a couple days ago in the Yankee
This wasn't
game.
The hand because he came back from after getting hit in the
it
hand.
It was in the last game in the Yankee series.
The one they were up big?
He came out in the ninth inning after running the bases. And I was like, oh, that's not good. We'll see if anything comes up. And there really was nothing ever said. But basically what it came down to is, this was an article from the Associated Press. Second baseman Jose Altuve returned to the lineup to Houston in the Houston Astros 7-2 win over the Marlins after giving his team a scare because his special Mother's Day shoes were too snug. His feet were falling asleep during the game because his shoes were too small. So he had to come out of the game. He said he didn't even notice it. Hinch said he looked uncomfortable with his lower calf, ankle, calf, hamstring. It turned out to be his pink shoes. They were a little too tight. It was making his foot fall asleep. When he came to the bench, he was sort of dumbfounded as to why I took him out. He didn't even know. How do you not know your feet are falling asleep?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you not feel that tingling sensation before you don't feel anything?
Yeah, hence that I went from being really, really worried to just shaking my head about it. Like, yeah, you're like, oh, he's got a leg injury. He's got a leg injury. Then he comes back, he's like, yeah, my shoes are tight. What? I know that sucks, though. There's nothing worse than tight-ass shoes on your feet.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, even in the NBA, when they do the Black History Month shoes, and teams do, but they sometimes only send you the one pair. And the guys don't want to look like they're not participating.
But if they
don't
fit,
sometimes your dogs are barking because they're not fitting right at all.
Yeah.
And they should send a couple pair.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but it's only for a limited time, so they figure one pair will do it. Now, in Major League Baseball, you would think because they auction off a lot of that stuff, that they would send you multiples. Like, if you want to, because some of the cleats are pretty cool and some of the things, maybe you want to keep a pair and also auction a pair. And then, no shout-outs to Adidas, because Under Armour and Nike both did pink shoes, and all the Astros that were Adidas guys were wearing orange and blue.
Were they?
Which looked completely awful with those uniforms.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was why Jose, if you were out there, if you're a big baseball fan and were wondering why Jose Altuve came out of the game in the last game in the Yankee series in the ninth inning for a pinch runner, because his shoes were too tight.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I was more concerned when he got hit in the hand.
Yeah.
Because he kept shaking it, and even in the field, radio and TV were both mentioning every chance he got, he was testing it, and then he got up the next time and hit like a laser beam, and they're like, nope, I think he's okay.
He's good. By the way, Astros, number one again in the power rankings.
Yep.
Overtook the Washington Nationals. You know, if you are you on pace, guy?
No.
You're not? Nick, are you on pace, guy? Do you like that kind of stuff?
You're sometimes. Asking him that question.
They're 26 and 12.
So
what are you doing right now, Nick?
I am paying attention to this program.
With your head down while you're playing something on your phone.
Are you, though, Nick?
I'm looking at our Twitter timeline that's very relevant right now.
I think, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, Joel. From now on.
I answered the question like immediately.
From now on.
First time all day.
Nick.
What?
From now on, at the end of the show, Joel and I are going to give you a pop quiz.
Why?
Just because. It's going to be somewhere between 3:30 and 4, and it's going to pertain to questions. The questions will pertain to information and or topics that we've discussed during the show.
That's fine, but just know. And there's going to be questions that's going to be shot right back at you.
It will be graded.
We don't have to answer.
It will be graded and turned in.
To show your lack of...
To Jong. So I'm just saying, you need.
Jog is gonna be like, is this supposed to be like a surprise?
You need to get your ass in gear and start listening to this show.
John's gonna be like, Nick, I need to talk to you about the fact that you've been failing your daily quizzes.
Yeah.
Your grades are not acceptable. We're going to have to put you on probation.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take your phone away from you, son. Oh. Yeah. He's going to get his phone taken away. So the Astros are 27-12. They've played 39 games. Season is 162 games. So they're roughly a quarter of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
They are on pace to win close to 120 games.
And the all-time record's 123?
So they're at 27-12. Yeah. Let's assume they win tonight because it's the Marlins and Keuchel's pitching.
And Keuchel's pitching, yeah.
So they're going to be 28-12, 40 games in.
Have you seen, by the way, speaking of the Ryan Anderson effect?
Sorry, that's 112 games. That's 112
that's
games.
Damn good season right there.
If they win 100, I would be surprised if they win 100 games. Mm-hmm. They're on pace for 112.
That's like the benchmark of greatness.
100. 100.
Yeah,
100.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I had them winning like 93 or something like that this year. So I think anything over 95 for this team is outstanding. But that also kind of lets you know they're on a pretty torrid pace. They're probably going to slow down at some point. So I just want to brace people. Like, you know, there's going to be cold spells. This team is going to struggle a little bit at some point this year. Be ready. The hitting is going to pick up, and then it's going to go cold again. The pitching is going to stumble a little bit. Right now, the bullpen's struggling a little. But if you're on pace, guy, they're on pace for 112 games, assuming they win tonight. That's badass. So,
and I'm going to call them at least for the month of May. I'm going to call them the Florida Rhinos.
Why is that?
Or the Miami Rhinos.
Why is that?
Because they literally are Ryan Anderson. Their record at home right now in the last like 12 is like 1-11.
The Marlins?
Yeah. They've tried to open the roof for like five consecutive games to try and change it. And all they do is keep taking L's.
Yeah. They do have a 6-12 record at home. That's not good. They're 1-11, you said?
1-11 in their last 12.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So they started off 5-1?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That sucks.
How about that?
Yeah. Astros have if you're keeping track at home, they have an 8-game lead over the Angels and Rangers now. 8 games, and we're not even to June yet. We're just now midway through May. Like I said, if they keep this up, they'll have this division sewed up by June, mid-June, into June, something like that. Yeah.
And they're still talking about the Astros making a deal for another starter and saying that they would not have to touch the Major League roster, but you would probably give up a guy like Cameron or someone in the minor leagues that has a lot of potential. Mike Cameron's son is a pretty hot prospect.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it depends on who it is. I mean, you know, the big name that's always thrown out or has been thrown out for the last year is Jose Quintana.
Yep.
His stock has fallen. He's not pitching that well, which I think that still means you can get a deal for him.
But it worries you, too, that is he just because you get a deal for him, is he going to be able to perform for you like he hasn't been able to do for the White Sox?
A name I mentioned, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Garrett Cole.
Yep.
It came up again on a broadcast with a few other names. Another name that I brought up, too, that you might see go on the market is Harvey.
Matt Harvey?
Yeah. Are you interested? Any interest in that?
Look, even after Tommy John surgery, his velocity hasn't really gone off the charts. He can pitch.
Yeah.
He's got to get his head straight. Maybe getting him away from Adriana Lima would help.
Isn't that crazy? That dude almost went nuts because of that.
Yeah. Because she went back to her old boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he saw the video of it.
Broke his heart.
It was Edelman. Julian Edelman of the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there that. Right. And how about this? Before then, she had a kid with what's his name? Former NBA player Marko Jarkic.
Oh.
Yeah, so like obscurity, but that was the big deal when he married. Everybody said he overachieved because he married a Victoria's Secret model.
Right. It's my own text that only thing worse than tight shoes are shoes that are too big. Oh, I'll take the too big and tight ass.
Fact, my boy Ray Allen wears like a 13.5 regular dress shoe, played in 15s. I don't know how I could do that. I don't know how he could do that without stumbling and stuff. But he said for the protection of his feet, you know, based on socks and tape and everything like that, he always felt it was better to have a bigger shoe than a tight shoe, and he wore like a 1.5 too big. I don't know how you could do that.
Socks? Extra socks?
Like Calvin Murphy wore 9 pair of socks.
9?
Sometimes 9 pair of socks.
Well, that seems a bit excessive.
Well, he's also 5'0", yeah, so he needed to be taller.
Yeah. That's crazy.
What do you think, Nick? And- Dan will be back and get Nick and back
never,
in the fold.
I would never wear shoes that are big, too big for me. That's
how many pairs of socks did Calvin Murphy wear?
I don't know.
We'll try and bring that up next segment. Hey, we've got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. If you want to join us, chime in, 713-780-ESPN. That's the HRNP listener line where you can text and call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.